Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into what is, well, it's basically the digital age's version of a classic heist story, except this time, the good guys actually won. We're talking about that high-stakes, really epic digital war between Sony and the PS5 scalpers. I mean, it was a conflict that completely defined the console launch era.
It forced huge changes in e-commerce security, just massive.
Right. And our sources, they include some really deep analysis from security experts, and they chart this frightening evolution of the scalping industry.
We're not just talking about bots. This was bespoke enterprise-grade software.
Exactly. And then we pivot to the surprising, maybe even shocking, technological countermeasures Sony deployed to, you know, take back control of their inventory.
So our mission today for you is to give you the blueprint of this digital crusade.
We're going to unpack how a seemingly simple update to a terms of service document, how that turned into what scalpers themselves are now calling a digital execution.
And, you know, this story is just such a critical case study for anyone in the digital marketplace. If you're prepping for a meeting on brand resilience or advanced e-commerce security, you really need to pay attention. This is about a massive manufacturer, Sony, making a profound strategic choice. They willingly sacrificed the immediate short-term revenue by banning tens of thousands of potential sales.
Which is just, it's unheard of. A sale is a sale, right?
Not here. They decided that long-term brand loyalty and, you know, customer satisfaction were worth more than an instant sale, even to a scalper. That level of commitment changes the whole game.
That's the core insight, isn't it? It's not just tech. It's a huge business decision. Okay. And the tech, the arms race here is stunning.
Oh, it's incredible.
We're going to reveal Sony's secret weapon. And it's an AI that doesn't care who you are, but it specifically tracks how you move your mouse.
How you move your cursor, the speed of your typing.
It sounds like science fiction, something out of a Philip K. Dick novel, but it became the key to defeating all that automation.
Right.
So to really appreciate this whole battle, we have to start at the moment the tide turned. An event that's now grimly referenced in scalper forums as the Night of Long Knives.
Right. It began so quietly. A stealth update to the PlayStation Direct Terms of Service.
And most of the bot operators, they saw this dense legal boilerplate and just dismissed it.
Yeah. Standard stuff. Yeah. Irrelevant noise. Yeah. And they were just disastrously wrong.
The execution was swift.
Oh, incredibly swift. Within hours of that update, thousands of bot accounts that were trying to query Sony's inventory endpoints.
So just asking, is the PS5 in stock now? Over and over.
Exactly. They were all suddenly disconnected all at once. The first sign of trouble for them was just the sheer volume of simultaneous failures.
And when the bot operators tried to manually log back in to see what was going on, they were met with a very specific, now infamous, code of digital punishment.
They were. The code was WS373687. And the message that came with it read, "Access to PlayStation Network by this account has been banned due to violations of the terms of service." But the real sting... The real sting was the permanence.
This wasn't a timeout?
No, not a temporary shadow ban. This was an irrevocable, permanent digital execution. Sony wasn't just booting them from a queue. They were wiping out massive investment.
All their infrastructure, the harvested tokens, the aged accounts.
Everything. They went nuclear on the whole ecosystem.
Okay, so we have to understand the level of sophistication we're talking about here. Before this ban wave, when we say scalpers, we are not talking about some guy in his basement hitting F5.
Not at all. Yeah. We're talking about highly capitalized, almost enterprise-level software operations. Their goal was to make their requests completely indistinguishable from yours or mine.
So how did they do that? Because traditional security is all about blocking a bad IP address, right?
Exactly. And the scalpers made that impossible using what are called residential proxies.
Okay, break that down for someone who isn't a network engineer. What's a residential proxy?
So think of it this way. Instead of sending traffic from their own server, the bot routes its data through the actual home IP address of a completely unsuspecting person.
So it looks like it's coming from a regular house.
A perfectly legitimate house. They often do this by leveraging infected consumer devices, smart toasters, webcams, you know, IoT gadgets.
Wait, my toaster.
Your smart toaster could unknowingly become a bot endpoint. So instead of blocking one bad IP, Sony would have to block 10,000 legitimate homes. It's impossible.
Wow, so your smart fridge just helped the scalper steal a PS5. That's insane. And speed was just as critical as the disguise.
Art, absolutely brutal speed. They use what are called headless browsers.
Okay, another term. What's that?
It's software that loads just the essential back-end code of the checkout page. So the form fields, the buttons, but it wastes zero time rendering any of the graphics or images you or I would see.
So the moment the link is live,
the bot can fill out all the forms, shipping details, click confirm purchase in milliseconds. A human user hasn't even had the picture of the console fully load yet.
That makes manual buying just completely futile. But the most sophisticated method, the real preemptive strike, was about login tokens. Tell us about token harvesting.
This is where they acted like bank robbers who steal the master key days before the vault is even locked.
I like that analogy.
A successful login to PlayStation Direct gives your browser a valid token, you know, a cookie, that proves you're a real user. The scalpers would pre-generate and harvest thousands of these valid tokens days or even weeks before a launch.
And what did that let them do? What did they bypass?
They bypassed the entire crucial login queue, all the initial security checks, while you and I are sitting in that digital waiting room waiting for our turn.
The little walking man on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. These bots use their pre-harvested tokens to instantly jump right into the actual purchasing page. It gave them a near-zero latency advantage. The traditional security wall was completely irrelevant.
Because they were already inside the perimeter.
They were already inside.
Okay, so to sum up the problem, Sony was facing software that could look like thousands of different homes, operate faster than a human could blink, and completely bypass security using pre-stolen keys. IP bans were useless.
Totally useless. They had to completely rethink their defense strategy.
And they did.
They did. Since they couldn't tell who was buying, thanks to those residential proxies, Sony shifted the entire focus to checking how the purchase was being made.
Okay.
They realized that while a bot can perfectly fake its location, it struggles to perfectly fake human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the foundation of the behavioral analysis AI.
Right. And here's where the tech gets genuinely fascinating. This AI isn't sniffing out IP addresses. It's looking for signatures of inorganic, you know, non-human behavior.
Exactly. Targeting the automation itself.
Security analysts believe the new algorithm tracks three key biometric data points. Let's start with the most intuitive one, mouse movement.
Yes. Just think about your own hand. Even when you're trying to move your cursor in a perfectly straight line to the checkout button, your hand has tiny, characteristic micro jitters.
You kind of overshoot or you hesitate for a split second.
Exactly. And your path is naturally curved, like a little arc. A bot, on the other hand, moves the cursor in a perfectly calculated mathematical straight line. Constant speed.
So the AI is looking for that signature human wobble, that imperfection. If the mouse path is too clean, it's a flag.
It's a flag.
But wait, what about power users? You know, someone who's really precise, maybe using a high-end gaming mouse. Could a legitimate user get flagged for being too robotic?
That's a critical question, and one they had to solve for. Analysts suggest the AI doesn't just look for the lack of human traits, but for the presence of machine traits.
Okay.
So a human, no matter how skilled, can't execute a perfect line 100% of the time. The AI creates a baseline of acceptable human variance.
Mm-hmm.
If the movement profile falls outside that, if it's perfectly linear, perfectly timed, that's the smoking gun.
So it's looking for the complete absence of biological noise.
Exactly. It's looking for too much perfection.
That makes sense. Okay. The second flag targets that speed advantage we talked about, input velocity.
This is a direct countermeasure to the lightning-fast form filling. If you, a human, are typing a 16-digit credit card number, there's a physical limit to how fast your fingers can move.
Even for the fastest typists in the world.
Right. The AI flags instantaneous input velocity. If a 16-digit number and a 3-digit CVV are put in under a tenth of a second, for example, that data transfer rate is only possible when a script is dumping text directly into a form field.
Not when fingers are on a keyboard. It's the difference between typing and pasting.
Precisely. And a third piece of data is much more straightforward. The account lifecycle.
The sniff test.
Correct. The simplest flag is the inorganic flag. If an account was created yesterday, has zero gameplay history, zero trophies, and suddenly tries to buy five of the hottest items on the planet, it doesn't look right.
It's part of a holistic view. Low activity plus high suspicion equals a flag.
Yes. And this whole approach is just, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because as you said, it targets the execution itself. It doesn't matter how many layers of proxies the scalper builds.
They can't hide the fact that their bot is typing too fast or moving in a perfect line.
It's the Achilles heel of automation. The disguise works for who you are, but the system now sees how you interact. And that interaction proves you're a machine.
Okay, so if the behavioral AI was the surgical strike that took out the existing bots, Sony then rolled out what many are calling the silver bullet to stop them from ever coming back.
Yes.
Let's talk about the rumored rollout of gamer validation.
This is, I would argue, the most brilliant and aggressive move in the entire war. Sony essentially started testing a system that prioritizes, or in some cases entirely restricts, hardware sales based on actual deep PSN account history.
They turned the checkout line into an exclusive club for proven players.
Pretty much.
This sounds simple, but the requirements they put in place are what just shattered the scalping model. What were the rumored criteria?
They're quite stringent, and they're designed to be impossible to fake efficiently. So first, the account needs age, at least 12 months old.
Okay, that's a start.
Second, it needs activity, a minimum of 50 hours of active playtime recorded on the system. These two things already make it really hard to just spin up thousands of new throwaway bot accounts.
But the absolute genius move, the truly disruptive part, is the trophy requirement.
This is the key.
The account has to have earned specific high-level trophies, often a platinum trophy or several golds, to prove, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it belongs to a dedicated human player.
And just think about the economics of that. A scalper runs a business on minimal input cost and maximum speed. They can script an account creation for a few cents.
Right. They can buy a proxy for pennies.
But how do you script a bot to legitimately earn a platinum trophy in a modern, complex game?
You can't. You can't script the nuanced gameplay you need to beat Elden Ring or complete all the side missions for the platinum in Spider-Man 2.
Exactly. This forces the scalper into one of two positions. Either they have to hire a human player, or they have to develop vastly more expensive, highly advanced, automated gameplay systems.
Which would cost a fortune.
Either way, the labor cost, the time cost, the sheer complexity required to earn a platinum trophy across thousands of accounts, it completely destroys the return on investment. The profit margin just vanishes.
It's a moat built entirely out of gameplay commitment.
Perfect way to put it.
So what was the immediate measurable impact of this whole strategy? The AI bans and the platinum trophy wall?
The market reacted instantly. We saw secondary market prices crash on platforms like StockX and eBay almost immediately after the ban wave.
The confidence was just gone.
It evaporated. The volume of confirmed pre-order listings, which they used to rely on to front-run sales, it just dropped off a cliff.
And the most important outcome was the tangible benefit to, you know, us.
Right.
The real consumers. The thousands of illicit orders that were canceled, that inventory didn't just disappear.
No, it was returned to the available pool.
Which led to those incredible spontaneous restocks on PlayStation Direct that people started seeing.
Those weren't planned events. That was literally inventory that had been liberated from the bots and given back to the system, creating real opportunities for actual gamers.
This brings us to the verdict on this whole crusade. Because for years, manufacturers had that old attitude, a sale is a sale, they got their money either way.
Right. And the verdict from everyone tracking this space is pretty much unanimous. Sony's aggression is a welcome, game-changing move. By banning maybe 50,000 accounts, they made a calculated choice to sacrifice immediate revenue.
They took a loss.
A temporary loss on the balance sheet, because they recognized that the hidden cost of letting scalpers run rampant was far higher. It was the destruction of consumer goodwill.
They sent a very powerful and very costly message.
Undeniable. The core message is crystal clear. PlayStation is for players, not for profiteers. This aggressive, technologically advanced stance protects long-term brand loyalty. It's a massive shift.
Okay, so let's unpack this ultimate takeaway. We started with silent terms of service updates and bots, using your smart toaster to look like 1,000 different homes.
Right.
We moved through a behavioral biometric AI that tracked the tiny jitters in your hand and timed your typing speed. And we ended with a system that basically requires you to beat the hardest games just to buy a new console.
It's not just retail anymore. This is next generation cyber defense meeting customer relations.
It absolutely is.
It's cyber defense.
Yeah.
And it solves a huge problem of market fairness. But this level of dedication does raise an interesting, maybe slightly provocative question for you, the listener, to consider.
Okay.
While the trophy requirement system brilliantly eliminates the scalpers, does it risk unintentionally punishing new or casual gamers?
The person who just wants to buy a console for their kids at Christmas.
Exactly. Someone who hasn't earned a platinum trophy yet. By setting that dedication bar so high, are they inadvertently creating a barrier of entry for legitimate but just less devoted customers.
That's the complex trade-off, isn't it? Prioritizing the most engaged core audience over the casual or new user, it's a fascinating ripple effect to chew on.
For sure.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Sony's digital crusade. We'll see you next time.